You're listening to More Perfect Marketing, the show for business owners and entrepreneurs always on the lookout for smart marketing ideas to keep their business moving forward. And now, here's your host, David Baer.
Well, hello, and welcome to another episode of More Perfect Marketing. My name is David Baer, and joining me today is Heather Cherry. So Heather is a copywriter. I have a t-shirt, actually. I should have mentioned this to you, Heather. I have a t-shirt that says copywriter, not copywriter. Because sometimes when I mention, you know, that I do copywriting, somebody says, oh, cool, where'd you go to law school?
Yeah.
Obviously, there's a lot of business owners out there that don't really understand that writing copy is done by copywriters. And that's what you do. So welcome, Heather. Why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Thank you for having me. And I love that you have a t-shirt that says that. That's so funny. And I know one time somebody said that to me and I'm like, no, I know nothing about the copyright law. So that's good that you have that. So anyways, thank you for having me again. I'm Heather Cherry. I'm a marketing copywriter, freelance writer, author, and entrepreneur. I work in a variety of industries, but I think the thing that I love the most is authentic storytelling, and that can come across in, you know, website copy, email marketing, content marketing, just the whole gamut of things. And I am also teaching myself how to write fiction. So I am just all over the place. So
awesome. Let's dive into that fiction thing, because you're not the first marketing copywriter I've run across who is also doing this on the side. What inspired that?
So my son actually inspired the idea for it. So it's a middle grade fiction novel. And one day he was just like playing this imaginary game, I guess. And he was talking about it. And I said, that would be a really great story. And we love books. You know, he reads a ton of books. So it just kind of manifested from that. And it's been a lot of fun. It's still very new. And it's so hard to write fiction, but it's also so much fun.
So I'm going to guess here, because we haven't discussed this already, but that stories and storytelling is very much inherent in the professional work that you're doing in the marketing space as well. Is that right?
Yes, it is. And I think that's what sets me apart from a lot of other writers, is that, you know, I come at it from, you know, like a journalism background. I have experience doing that, this fiction background that I'm kind of learning as I'm going, but also marketing. So it's really just understanding who your audience is and then, you know, telling the story that is most appealing. So it's been a lot of fun. And I think it fares well in my content. So
cool. So I want to talk a little about kind of the different areas where writing is used in business. And then maybe we'll you know, focus in on one of them. But can you kind of, you know, talk about, because I know that you work in a bunch of different pieces of the puzzle when it comes to marketing for business. Can you, for the audience, just sort of describe what those different areas are when it comes to marketing writing, and what each of those different, I guess, the differences between writing in one area versus writing in the other might be?
Sure. So I write a lot of emails on a day-to-day, and I'm also writing feature content that is, it rests on blogs, but it also has like that sales perspective, right? So ultimately it's educational, but it's also promoting something. So, you know, that's content marketing in its finest. And then there's also sales copy, which I do that, but I would say that's not like my strongest suit, because I always come at it from like an educational point. And I know sales, you have to really like get in there and, you know, give them the sale. And so that's something that I'm always learning.
Excellent. And yeah, I think that was an important piece. I often will hear people talking about content articles, or, you know, maybe it's I actually don't know the difference between an article and a blog post. I kind of think they're the same thing, but that, you know, there is an inherent sales pitch, or and now that you've consumed this, here's what to do next piece, that is often forgotten about by, you know, even professionals who do it. So I'm really glad that you brought that up.
Yeah. And it's so important. And I think that, you know, if you have that in your mind when you're writing that content in the beginning, it comes across throughout the whole copy, but it's almost like it's organic, and it's not like, it doesn't come across as a sales pitch. It's more like, you know, you understand your audience, you're solving their problem. And that's really what marketing is. So my content tends to do that.
It comes to mind the Stephen Covey, you know, concept of, you know, start with the end in mind, begin with the end in mind. If you know that you want them to take a particular action, that's great. I've never thought about that it comes across throughout the stuff that you're writing as a result.
Yes.
So, okay. So we got emails, we got blog posts or articles. Is there a difference, by the way?
Yeah. You know, I don't know. I do feel like blogs and articles are synonymous, especially in my world, because I always approach them as an article. I tell a lot of my clients, like, I source it like I'm writing for a literary journal, because to me, that's the best content. And I started out as a journalist. So that's ingrained in me. Like, I don't like to write fluffy pieces, and I like to put facts in and that support the things that I say. So to me, a blog is an article is a blog, right? But I think there is a difference. You know, a lot of people, I think a few years ago, blogs were primarily like first person and very, you know, opinion based, and kind of like lifestyle is kind of what it coined as. But as content marketing has grown, they just kind of have come, one has become the same. So.
Okay. Then there's this other piece that you also do, which I don't think you brought up earlier, which is kind of the brand writing as well. Can you explain what that piece is and how it's different from content, either in content or tone?
Yeah. So it's always so interesting. You really have to almost act as an actor, because you have to kind of get into the space of the business and come at it from their voice and their tone. And when I'm writing brand content, I'm paying attention to how they use like sentence structure and even things like the comma usage, because to me, that's all things that can, you know, differentiate seamless content versus not seamless content, right? So, so really, I think it's always knowing that audience, that's the parallel, but it's understanding, you know, who is this content supposed to be representing and how is it representing them? And I think it's always like a lot of different things for me. And I feel like I've done it so long now that it just kind of comes naturally. So I feel like that may not be the best explanation.
No, but I love the fact that you take the time to really understand who it is you're representing in that. You know, you were talking about, you know, not necessarily having as much strength in the sales copy stuff. That's where I live. I can't do the content stuff, because it requires a very distinctive voice and understanding how they write, how they, you know, want to be seen, and also to be consistent. That's really hard for me to do. So it takes a skill to be able to. I guess you should talk maybe a little bit about what your process for discovering that might be, because I actually have no idea.
Yeah. Well, that's good. So reading stuff is really how I discover that. And, you know, and I really like when I'm going to be writing brand content, like I'm working on a website copy project right now. And I think the best way to kind of adapt that voice is to just get on a call with that person and have them just talk off the cuff about their business. And I always say, like, just tell me about your business, you know, what do you want to achieve? And I think that whenever that happens, you really get a feel for their voice and their tone and just like their expectations. And it always just goes so well, because I pick up on things that they may have said that they didn't know that was a part of their business or a part of their audience. And it's always so fun to show them that when it comes through and they're like, oh, I didn't know that. So it's always good.
That's awesome. And the fact that you're doing that and listening to what they're saying and then extracting what they say and using it, you know, that's a classic thing that great sales copywriters, I'm thinking of a story about a guy named Eugene Schwartz, who is very well known in the direct response copywriting space. He used to go in, sit down with someone, you know, have a conversation, and then he could go and pound out the sales letter or whatever he was writing, basically just reorganizing their words. And that's a skill set and a talent that copywriters have that most of us can't, you know, articulate this stuff and then formulate it in a way that is needed for the business. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about email.
Sure.
Because email, I think, you know, I teach it. I've actually written a couple of books on it, et cetera, but it's really intimidating. People who are in business struggle with email for all sorts of reasons, and ultimately they don't use it enough or properly. So I'm curious, what's your take on email in business? What do you do with clients? You said you're writing a lot of emails, so just sort of you know, riff on that for a little bit. I'd love to hear what you do and what you think on the topic.
Yeah. So I think it depends on the business, but the businesses that I work with, email marketing is huge and it's much more successful than social media just because, and I've seen this even in my own brand, but you know, email rests in their inbox until they're ready to open it. Whereas like social media, it's kind of, it goes away like almost instantly. And it's very subjective to algorithms. Sorry, I can't speak today. But email marketing is great because you can really customize it. You can make it your own brand. You can say what you want to say. It's so amazing, I think. And, you know, when I approach an email, I come at it from making it valuable. You know, we get enough spam emails. Nobody wants to open that. So I always try to make it educational, even though it is coming from a sales place. I mean, ultimately, I'm sending you an email because I want you to buy something or I want you to do something, but it's also like valuable. Like the one company I work with, we do a lot of workshops and webinars and things like that. So ultimately that is going to help them do better in their job. So that email is serving them a purpose. So that's how I like to approach it.
So you're starting with a new client. And, you know, you're sort of assessing what needs to be done. And email is a part of the process. And, you know, walk me through what you typically encounter when you start with a client. What have they been doing email wise? I'm assuming it's not been what you necessarily want them to have been doing. And then how do you sort of plan out what happens next with them?
So I think email marketing is just a piece of the puzzle. So I always like to start with what content are they creating? And a lot of times that is the blog. And then maybe they have videos. So and then email is just kind of like that subsidiary of that. So it supplements them and it's sharing that. So I never approach email as like a first to do. It's more of like, let's share what you're already doing and talk about that. So let's drive, you know, traffic to your blog because you're already creating that. And why not reuse things? So, and even a blog can often be repurposed into an email and make it very informative and salesy while still kind of keeping that valuable tone. So, you know, it's so hard. It's like, I'm always trying to convince a lot of my clients that they should do email marketing. And like you said earlier, it's very intimidating to them. And I think for a lot of reasons, they think people are just going to, you know, delete them or unsubscribe. But I think as long as we're always giving them, like I said, the value in return, it's always going to be successful.
So you work with several different types of businesses. Can you sort of walk us through one of the types of clients that you work with and, you know, what that content might look like, what the emails might look like? You gave the example of, you know, one that did a lot of webinars, but sort of how do you plan that? So you figure out the content, then you figure out how to drive traffic to it, or you look at the fact that they have a list that they haven't mailed or that they really need to grow a list. How do you assess that? And then how do you plan that all out?
Yeah. So I think of it as like an editorial calendar. So I always say like, what are you planning to do 3 months from now? And then we kind of like reverse engineer that. So, you know, if we have an event coming up in 3 months, we don't want to be marketing that event like 2 weeks before, right? So we want to be probably starting to market it now or even like dropping tidbits. So, and then I try to create content that is supporting that or supplementing that idea of the thing that they want to sell or the service that they want to promote. And then how can we create a topic around that that provides value? And then we kind of just pick it apart from there and start creating.
So I often use that phrase that provides value, and then I get a question. You know what that question is? What does that mean? What does that look like? What do you mean, value? Can you give us a couple of examples of the type of value that a business maybe, describe whatever type of business it might be and the type of value they might want to be including in the content that you're creating for them?
Yeah. So I think a lot of it is, and so many businesses that don't already have a presence on their blog or email, it's really awareness about what they do, but almost like why they would need them. So an example of that is I work with this client. She does a lot of consulting work with higher education, and she does a whole wide array of things, but I help her create content that is just kind of like an awareness of, what should you be doing when you're implementing these projects and talking about that. And a lot of the times, like you think like, oh, that's common knowledge. Like they should know that. That's what they're doing every day. But a lot of times when you're in the hustle and the grind, like you forget about these things. So it's really just bringing that to the forefront and allowing them to kind of like reassess. And, when you're a consultant or a professional person and you're speaking to this and sometimes when you're in the day-to-day maybe you don't know how to do that the best, so you're like okay, like it just gets you thinking, and I think that that's the best example.
So, I struggle with this when it's a business that isn't necessarily a trainer or a consultant, a service provider, because the how-to makes so much sense in those situations. But if I were, and I'm putting you on the spot here because, well, because you do what you do, and so hopefully you do it well. But for a retailer that is selling, something. I've seen it done well, but whether it's a dress shop or a pet store or something like that, where does the value come in the kind of content that gets created for those types of businesses?
So it's really just ideas that might be relevant to your customer. So, and I like to think of as our customers as very dynamic people. So, as, and I can speak to myself for an example, I am a marketer, I'm a writer, but I'm also a mother, and I'm a wife. So there's all these like different things that I care about. So if somebody's trying to sell something to me, you could talk about a whole wide array of things. And I'm probably just like one. I have similarities as other people, so you can kind of, and it's not like you're gonna create content and that everybody's gonna read it all the time, but you have these little tidbits that you can kind of pull out, and you're gonna engage your audience in a different way each time. So I always like to think of the parallels and where the intersection happens, and then you can create content based on that.
And so a dress shop or a pet store probably should be sending stuff out that isn't just, hey, we have a sale.
Yes, exactly.
Got it. And I mean, I guess it does make sense because it's ultimately the thing that is maintaining and building upon the relationship. And so, email is a highly effective way to do that. We do it with our friends or family. Oh, well, depends on how old you are. Apparently, some people don't do that anymore. It's like talking on the phone. But I think you're right that there is a certain intimacy to email that you don't get when you're out in public on social media.
Yeah, it's so true. And I don't want to speak against social media because it's so powerful, but it's just so subjective, and I hate that. I like more certainty in my life, so that's why I love email.
Yes. And frankly, you have more control over it.
Yes.
Right? So, and I guess a business controlling the marketing, the message, the narrative is probably an important thing, right? You want to avoid getting into trouble or having, public problems, right?
Yes, very much.
So I mentioned you work with a wide range of businesses. What are some of the areas that you really enjoy digging into? Because I was on the website and looking at some of the types of folks that you've worked with, and it's a pretty wide range.
It is. And I always say, like, I don't know. I've always been a very curious person. So I feel like I can always kind of adapt to different industries. And I teach myself a lot and I love to learn. Like if school wasn't so expensive, I'd probably be a lifelong learner. Mm. So, but I think, you know, I love writing health and wellness content. That's always been something that's been, you know, a passion of mine. And I just think it's so important and that we keep talking about that and keep being aware of that. But I always seem to get pulled into the finance industry, which is not a bad thing. I also love finance. I've learned a lot writing about finance content. So that I'm very thankful for that. But, you know, consulting, I do a lot with that. I've done software services. I mean, it's just, I am all over the place.
So here's why I was sort of curious about this, because you need to at least know a little bit about what you're writing about in order to, you know, sound convincing, sound authoritative. How do you, as the writer, do the necessary research or education for yourself so that you are speaking about these things accurately and authoritatively?
Yeah, it's really just, you know, searching what are other people saying and just familiarizing yourself with that content. And yeah, and just diving in, like teaching yourself stuff. So that's what I love to do. I'm a very independent learner and I always have been. So maybe that's just who I am. But yeah, I guess I didn't really think of it like that.
So you mentioned, you know, seeing what other people have written, and it brings to mind a big controversy in the writing space right now. I don't know if you are tuned into this area of artificial intelligence writing, but it's a very hot topic because there's this technology out there that has basically read like 10% of the internet over, you know, a span of a few years, although it's a few years old, the information that it read. And so you can go and ask a, you know, piece of software, hey, write something for me on this topic. And there is a lot of inaccurate information on the internet that gets regurgitated by this artificial intelligence. So thankfully you are a person and you have a filter and you can figure out when you're reading this stuff, you know, is this actually accurate or not? I hope at least, right?
Yeah, for sure. And I think, you know, and I think a lot of it is, I listen to a lot of things and, you know, and ever since I can remember, you know, I'd be watching a show and I'd be like picking up on things that the characters are saying or doing. And I think that all of that kind of just comes together and it's like, and it allows me to kind of be aware of the things that might be a little too, you know, too much of an opinion, or, you know, maybe I should research this a little bit more. And of course that comes with just experience, but that's kind of how I do it. And you're right. And yeah, the AI writing, like, it's great and it can be good for a certain purpose, but I don't think it can replace what we're doing as human writers. So,
no, and I think you're absolutely correct. I think that it's an aid to get there faster, more so than to replace anything. And so if you're listening out there and you're thinking, oh, I don't need to hire somebody, I can just go buy a piece of software. No, you can't. So, you know, we started by talking about stories, and maybe, you know, this, we can wrap up talking about stories, because storytelling is inherent in so much copywriting, in sales copy, definitely painting pictures for people and all of that. How do you incorporate stories in the marketing stuff that you're doing?
Yeah. So I always just try to think like, how is it going to make the most sense? And then I approach it from that. And I kind of like, a lot of the content I do isn't necessarily like from A to B to C, you know, so it's not linear in like organization always, but it's like, how does it make the most sense to process it? And, you know, what are they going to do? Like if I thought this, then how does it relate, you know, to the second point, third point, and all that good stuff. So I think that, yeah, it's just like what, connecting the dots and incorporating the small details that make the big picture make more sense.
When you're putting this stuff together for a client, you know, one of the things that I think all marketing outsourced businesses, you know, typically get asked is, you know, what's the ROI on this? How do you see, you know, businesses changing when they engage somebody like you, you know, for the better? What is it allowing them to do to get that they didn't have before?
Quality content, number one, but just a basis to build their brand, you know, and the content is just one piece of the puzzle. And I track the content that I create, but you know, it's not going to live on its own and just be super successful without the other pieces of the pie. So, you know, and there's a whole like marketing that needs to go behind that content. You know, what are you doing with it? You know, we can all create great content, but if we're not pushing it out there and sharing it in different ways, then it's going to fall flat no matter what business you are. So I just tell them, you know, it's a great foundation, and then you can keep building on it and sharing it. And I always say it's like a long-term strategy. It's not going to get you quick sales overnight. I mean, it could, it absolutely could, but chances are it's going to build that authority and trust and just really give them something to keep going on.
Makes total sense to me. And thank you for throwing in the word strategy there. I appreciate it. Heather, where can folks find you if they're interested in learning more about what you do and if they're interested in reaching out to you?
Sure. So you can find me at heathercherry.com. And because I was a guest on this podcast, I have created the first chapter free of my marketing guidebook. And you can find that at heathercherry.com/more perfect marketing.
Awesome. I'll make sure to leave both of those links. But before we go, you should tell us about that guidebook.
Yeah. So it's called Market Your Ass Off, and it's a marketing guidebook. It's geared towards small businesses who maybe have been in business, they found success, but they don't have a marketing initiative or they don't really know where to begin. And it's very conversational in tone, and it's just kind of, it's like a launching pad to kind of help take out all the mystery of social media and email marketing and websites. And it really was a result of small businesses coming to me and saying like, do I need social media? Do I need a website? And I'm always like, yes, and here's why. So my book is that answer. And it's really meant to kind of be a resource and live and breathe with them and just allow them to kind of DIY their marketing or support the marketing person that is doing marketing and other things.
Right. Which every small business has, right?
Yes.
So excellent. Heather Cherry, thank you so very much for joining me here today. I really appreciate it and the insights that you've shared. And I'm going to, you know, check out some of the work that you've been doing because it's always intriguing to see how writers can play the role of their client so effectively, like a chameleon, I imagine, right? So.
Yes. Thank excellent. You.
Indeed. Indeed. And folks, thank you for hanging out for another episode of More Perfect Marketing. Look forward to seeing you back here again next time. Take care.
You have been listening to More Perfect Marketing. For a collection of 26 smart marketing cheat sheets to help you master your marketing, please visit getdavidsgift.com. That's getdavidsgift.com. Once again, thanks for listening to More Perfect Marketing.